Welcome back. This is another episode of the Young Women Transform podcast. I'm Heather Risley with USAID's Office of Education.
And this is Lindsay Wolf from Youth Power Learning.
In this episode, we're going to be focusing on youth engagement. As part of engagement, youth are developing soft skills as well as technical skills that will prepare them for meaningful employment. At USAID, we looked at the literature, which has identified key soft skills that produce positive youth outcomes. Some of these include higher order thinking, the development of positive self-concept, self-control, and communication skills. Throughout this episode, you'll hear more about how the youth are helping each other in order to develop these skills. We had a number of conversations with staff at Safe Plan Uganda about what youth engagement looks like within their programs, what their recruitment strategy is, and just their general philosophy about how to keep youth engaged and how to get more youth engaged. And I think one of the takeaways from those conversations for me was it's really about changing mindsets, and you do that just through having conversations. And the fact that Safe Plan staff are local and are members of the community themselves, as well as youth, I think makes it easier for them to connect with the beneficiaries of the program and create a more trusting relationship where youth can share their concerns and their fears and brainstorm solutions to how they might overcome some of the challenges that they face. So we'll be talking more about creating that open space for trust and open communication. We'll be talking about what incentives there are for youth to keep engaged in this program. We'll also be hearing about a story of two young boys who participated in Safe Plan's Buobe program, and how they're really working together and really inspiring their peers to be creative in generating income for themselves and creating a positive influence on their community. Here's Lindsay and Annette.
How do you recruit other young people to be involved as volunteers and staff?
We do not really follow the formal recruitment of the young people or the staff to join us. We look at the spirit of voluntarism of the person joining us, or the young person joining us. We have to look at what is your dream. We have, because these people also, they have their own beliefs, what they want to follow, what they want to be. So most of our staff, they have that spirit of voluntarism. Much as we are growing a small organization, may not have all the resources to take care of the staff, maybe to pay salaries and whatever. So our recruitment is based on those approaches, spirit of volunteerism, willing to serve your community, then willing to bring innovative ways in the organization that can really improve the fellow youth, that can really improve the community, willing to looking at determination. How determined are you? How passionate are you towards your community, towards developing the community? So,
you mentioned the spirit of volunteerism and determination and a willingness to give back to the community. Are there other qualities or characteristics you look for in the young people that serve as volunteers or staff?
Yes. Our programs, we have five areas of programs. And the they are broad, they are very open. So that is also part of the skill. Because someone may come, I'm good at IT. Maybe my passion is to become an ICT specialist. Maybe I'm good, I want a gender equality something. I want to see women coming on board. Maybe someone may say, I'm passionate about environment, climate change. What do you have? What can you? What is your input? What are you willing to bring for to change in? So, basing on our five programming areas, also contributes to us to identify a young person, to identify a staff joining us. So, the background skill, the background story, is the one that also helps us to say, no, this is a young person. It really knows what we want, and we can help us to achieve the objective.
And now we're going to switch over to Lindsay's conversation with Daniel about technical skills.
What skills do young women need to have in order to start their own business or pursue work?
In the first place, young women need to have the skills to do what they want to do for themselves. Then after having those skills, they need to be guided. How do you keep record? Because business without record, you cannot know whether you're earning or not. So to come out of that, they really have to have the skills, produce something that can bring them income, and then have some skills to record them. Then other aspects of leadership and all these other things will come later on, because if they have income, they can meet most of their agent needs, especially at family level. They will not wait for their spouses to provide for meals, buy simple panadols, antibiotics to when a kid falls sick. So in that way, they will be a bit comfortable. Then other things will follow later on. But they need to have the skills to bring in money. Then how do we manage this money so that the money can grow and help them in their household?
And are there other services you've provided the young women in addition to the training that have benefited them?
One-on-one training. We provide counseling services. Sometimes we have short med programs that run for maybe a week or so to young people, like the sanitary pads, linking up with other partners, see that we reach out to the community and talk to them about something that can improve their lives. We have other program, outreach program, where we reach, including churches, social places, to promote the idea of how do we fight stereotype thinking of, especially in technical training. Can we have the ladies also join carpentry, building, and so that we don't end in training only, but we also go and change the mindset so that people have an open-minded thinking for them to better take decision on issues that affect their life.
Okay, and now we're going to take a break from our conversations with Daniel and Annette to focus on a story of two boys named Simon and Peter and the partnership that they have developed together. As part of USAID's Youth Workforce Development Learning Agenda, a key question is about effective ways to develop skills. One way of doing that is through mentorship. In this story, you'll hear how this is working in practice. Here's Lindsay to introduce the story.
Simon is one of the senior youth ambassadors for the Bodonga Women Beat Enterprises Program, or Buobe, and lives in Nyantonze. He was one of the first to join the trainings offered by Safe Plan. He told us about the difficulties he faced. He had to drop out of school early, for example, and struggled with what to do with his life. When he learned about Buobe, he said he started to see some hope. Now he's a community advocate for the program. He's recruited another young boy, Peter, and trained him in beekeeping. The two now work together to pool their resources, participate in savings programs, and earn income together. They have big plans to expand their number of beehives and plant crops that can support a healthy ecosystem, contributing to the food security of their community and supporting a sustainable environment.
Can you introduce yourself and say your name?
My name is, I'm called Obema Simon, a senior member of Safe Plan Uganda.
Wonderful. And so what, as a senior member, do you do, and what is the biggest benefit of this program?
There are so many benefits out of this program. I can mention them, but not all, okay, just due to the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, before this program had started, I used to face a lot of challenges. As you see me here, I'm still a youth. I'm not all that old, just even if you see me with these beards and so on. I'm not all that old. I've been facing a lot of challenges after my education, though I didn't complete due to some problems. But since Safe Plan came in, as I was passing via, that gentleman, that old man you were seeing there, was seated under that tree. I was called. Then I had to pay attention to them. It's just like as if it was just like a spiritual thing. I made sure that I have to come, and I came. Since by then, the knowledge that they impact into our brains up to this state I've seen a lot of changes in my life. And already, you know, there is where they say you may be taught something to put it in action. But if you just hear it and take it for granted, it will make no yield. So as per now, I've gone so far with the help of self-plan and some of the things that you are going to see this day of today.
Wonderful. It sounds like this has made a big impact for you. What do you hope for yourself in the future?
Something big, because, you know, actually this came, this organization came under beekeeping. But as time went on, I realized that it wasn't only all about beekeeping.
In these conversations with Simon, I'm really hearing more and more about how his experience in this program really goes beyond just the beekeeping activity itself and the technical skills he's developed in order to just do the beekeeping. In his descriptions, you can really hear how he's changed his outlook on life. He's become more positive. He has more hope. He's developed an ability to see how he himself can affect change in his own life. And this goes back to the concept that I spoke about earlier. One of the key soft skills that were identified was positive self-concept. You can really hear that coming through these conversations. Here's Simon again talking more about those skills.
But there are some other things that came behind it there. For example, business skills, empowerment, and some other things. So I have a lot of youths who have turned up and who are even interested to join this group. Why? We are taught how to do businesses, how to save expenditures, and so on. You understand? So we were told about empowerment. I've collected some youths who have turned up, who were in very critical condition. I love it. I love what I'm doing right now. I love what you brought to us.
And now we'll hear from Peter, one of Simon's friends he has mentored in beekeeping and who has learned a lot through this process.
I'm called Opio Peter, and Simon is my friend. The first time we met together was the first day when BOB members from the Office of Safe Plan came into the ground. We are the first people they met together with him. So from there, I just built love for what? When they taught us that they're coming to do what? To give us training about beekeeping. And I was already having that hope that I once must one day keep what? Bees. But what was lacking is that I did not have yet what? The knowledge to go over with it. And the knowledge plus the what? The funding for starting. That was what I'd lacked. But when they came to ground, after the first training, which was beekeeping, after beekeeping, they had come for business. Yes, we also went ahead learning how to do the business and building more hope that when we shall have one hive, when they donate us one hive, from the one hive, we can still do what? Get more of the hives. From one hive, we mean when the hive is colonized and the bees get into it, we harvest the bees. From the money we got from the honey, we can still do what? Get more hives. And come together with him. We just build a friend. We say, let us build a partner. Let's stay together so that we can manage it together. And that's how we came into working with him, making this site.
It was so great to meet Simon and Peter. Their relationship is a really interesting dynamic that came out of this program. It shows how the peer-to-peer learning is working in practice. Since Simon was an older youth and really got a lot out of the program, he was able to seek out Peter, bring him into the program, and now they're working together to achieve some common goals. Now we're going to switch back to our interviews. Here's Lindsay speaking with Annette.
What are the opportunities for young women in your community, and what skills do they need in order to tap into those opportunities?
Our base, our target is young people. They are youth. So we come in as to help them to initiate and start their job opportunities, their own income-generating activities. This one is packaged with the skills, what you talked about. We have the various skills. Firstly, is the tailoring skills, measuring and garment cutting, make the fashions, the designs of the clothes which are in the trend, because we know that they can market. Then another skill is carpentry and joinery. All these skills are short skills. They take the period of 3 months, because we believe that these are the basics that we can really give them. And having the limited resources, and we have the short skills that can enable them to go and begin in the job market. Then another skill is metal fabrication, metal cutting and fabrication. That is a very good example of making frames of the stoves. Then also the boxes for packing for school. Those are the skills. Then candle making. We are looking at adding a very addition to honey wax, to beeswax after harvesting honey. We don't want to see that waste, that beeswax as a waste. So our members involved in beekeeping, we give them that skill to produce candles from the beeswax. That we also add the citronella to repair away the mosquitoes, because most communities are living near the forestry reserves. They are prone to mosquito bites, and the government programs like health centers, they are rare. They don't reach there, and we want to introduce other skills which are on the way, which we are still designing, which can take like 1 day or 2 days to learn, like soap making, like book making, these books. Then another skill that also we want to introduce that would be not very far long ago is the shoe polish making. So we are looking at those skills, which take not more than at least a week. In town, looking, considering the resources and availability of the trainers to help them. And our skills, we really emphasize the participants to carry on them as commercial purposes, as businesses, transfer these skills to other people.
And that wraps up another episode. I think we've really learned a lot. Once again, some of the key reflections that I have are how this program is really taking a youth-responsive approach. Also, how they really offer a variety of skills. I think this really comes through quite strongly in answering the question of what are the effective ways to build skills, and just the sheer number of activities that youth can choose to be involved in, and also this idea that Annette talked about, finding skills that take a fairly short time to develop so that youth see the quicker return on investment that helps them continue to engage in the program. Lindsay, is there anything else you want to add to that?
From our interviews with Simon and Peter, we also learned about the importance of the opportunities for peer-to-peer learning. For both the mentor and the mentee, this provides an empowering experience whereby they can not only improve their incomes, but also strengthen their relationships and become leaders within their communities.
I agree. That was a really important concept that came through strongly in that story. And in next episode, we're going to be talking more about program design. We're going to dig in with Daniel in a deeper way of how the different components of the program work together and the approaches that they take overall to designing effective programming. Remember, you can always learn more at the following websites: youthpower.org or educationlinks at www.edu-links.org. If you haven't already, remember to subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast app.